Will you pray with me? Holy One, breath of life, God who reminds us of your presence in the beautiful sounds of babies, be with us in this moment. Touch all of us so that the words about to be spoken and the words about to be heard might be your word and not simply our own. Amen. This week, we continue our focus on Sabbath practice and take time to reflect on feasting and communion. As I prayed about these themes, I found myself thinking a lot about my own history. I realized that almost every memory I have of my family involves some kind of shared meal and the foods associated with it. At my Grammy's house, it was always very Scottish food. It was beef stew with chunks of carrots and potatoes, or shepherd's pie, or homemade meat pies. It was also shortbread, lemon curd and scones, and Empire biscuits, which were a shortbread cookie sandwich with raspberry jelly in the middle, with white vanilla frosting or icing on the top. They were called German biscuits until World War I, when they were renamed Empire biscuits, but that's for another sermon. At my grandmother Vogel's house, there wasn't any explicit ethnic identity associated with the food. Instead, I remember the pickle and olive tray, the ocean spray cran grape juice she always got in because she knew I loved it, and the sandwich fixings also on trays. I remember, too, my grandmother Vogel's carefully folded aluminum foil that was used over and over again to keep the fixings fresh for the next meal, a child of the Depression, or an adult of the Depression. At my Grammys, the prayer was usually a recitation of Scottish poet laureate Robbie Burns. Some hae meat and canna eat, and some would eat that want it. But we hae meat and we can eat, so let the Lord be thankit. At my grandmother Vogel's, grace was sung in harmony. Please join me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above ye heavenly host. Praise the experiences of each of these homes and meals and gatherings, as you can tell, were really, really different. In my Grammy's home, there seemed to be always a lot of laughter and joy. There was very little formality, as we often ate on TV trays, as Scottish music played on the record player. There was a relishing of the food and a spirit of celebration. And often there was a wee dram of scotch as well. At my grandmother Vogel's, there was always a sense of button-downness and control, both emotionally and spiritually. that was expressed in how we ate our food. There were very few murmurs of deliciousness or expressions of gladness in the act of eating or sharing time together. And there was a sense of superiority in the absence of alcohol. It wasn't that we didn't enjoy time with my grandmother Vogel, but it wasn't nearly as much fun as time with my Grammy. In some ways, the two sides of my family weren't all that different from my big fat Greek wedding. Do you remember that movie? Do you remember when the groom's waspish, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant mother and father came to the celebration at the Greek Orthodox recent immigrant home? The disorientation on the face of the groom's parents at all the loudness, the singing, the dancing, the food. My grandmother Vogel was a little like that at my Grammy's. Apparently, when my Grammy and my grandfather Vogel first met, they were laughing and joking. And my grandmother Vogel put her hand on my grandfather's leg and said, "Now, Elmer." I often wonder how much of this is connected to my Grammy's and my grandmother's journeys. My Grammy grew up in poverty in Scotland. When she was a little girl, there were many nights when there wasn't enough to feed their family of seven, and she went hungry. When she came to this country, she was decidedly working class. She started working as a domestic at 12 and worked outside the home her whole life. My grandmother Vogel, on the other hand, was the daughter of a Presbyterian minister with a 5-point pastoral charge in Bluffton, Ohio, that he served on horse and buggy. My grandmother's mother was one of the first women graduates of the University of Kansas in 1886. While not wealthy, their family was very economically comfortable. My grandmother was the youngest of 5 children, and her mother died when she was 8 years old. I think the combination of a particular kind of enforced piety that was tied to her class and an unsalved grief in her created a sadness that never healed. When our God restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, their God has done great things for them. Our God has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, Holy One, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seeds for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. As I've considered Sabbath practice as communion and feasting in the context of my own family and holding this scriptural text, I've been struck by a few things. First, our text is part of the series of psalms that were probably used by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem, singing their prayers as they went up to the holy city. It is one of the psalms that celebrates a restoration or resurrection after a very difficult and painful time. I particularly love the image of the farmers going out weeping because they didn't expect their crops to grow. I don't know why they didn't expect their crops to grow. Perhaps it was seasonal, perhaps it was something to do with the weather, who knows? They plant with tears because they expect there will be no food. but they come home with shouts of joy, their arms filled with an unexpected harvest. How joyful their feasting must have been, a meal of celebration of abundance when they had girded themselves for a season of scarcity. I imagine pilgrims singing this song, some of them journeying with heavy hearts, some perhaps in despair, their fervent prayers for life to emerge from the places of death and hopelessness in their lives. I wonder if that is why my Grammy was able to feast with joy and celebration. So many of her years were spent amidst a lot of pain and literal hunger. I do believe there was a sense of deep, deep gratitude that there was food and food abundant for her. But the second piece that comes to me is how hard it is to be joyful and celebrate abundance amidst scarcity, after scarcity, amidst the unfettered greed, hoarding, and the supersized culture we live in. The other image in the psalm is of the river that runs through a desert. The relief at water amidst drought brings a certain kind of joy. But a river that runs through a flooded land evokes a much different feeling. I wonder what feasting means in a culture where gorging ourselves seems the norm. What does abundance look like when affluenza's McMansions and multiple storage units for all the stuff that won't fit in our homes, and more and more and more, all seem the word of our day? I also wonder how the deeply communal nature of the psalm, with its ours and we's and us's, plays in our context of me and my and mine. It seems to me that the feasting that our psalm celebrates is all about a shared abundance. Joy doesn't come from getting mine, but rather our God has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. God's liberation and God's salvation come to us as a community. This communal nature of the shared abundance reminds me of Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. In the 11th chapter of his first letter to them, Paul warns about what happens when the wealthy members of the community take communion together, but don't do anything about feeding the poor members of their community first. Feasting is about shared abundance. Communion is about sharing and equity. Salvation and liberation are intertwined, and they are all about community and are completely communal. As we reflect on Sabbath practice and feasting and communion in these times, there's one more piece that I have been clinging to, and it is even more true this morning. Many of us are seeking to be farmers of kindness and love, of justice and equity and liberation. And I know that we are sowing the seeds of this kindness and love, justice, equity, and liberation with so many tears these days, that we weep when it seems as if our sowing will never reap any kind of a harvest of joy. But our psalm and the meal that we are about to share remind us that God promises that those who go out with weeping shall indeed come home with shouts of joy. Amen. Thank you.